Then he cried just south of Nashville, and he turned that car around. He said, "This is where you get off, boy, 'cause I'm going back to Alabama." As I stepped out of that Cadillac, I said, "Mister, many thanks." He said, "You don't have to call me Mister, Mister. The whole world called me Hank." He said,
"Welcome back to the Jeff Moore Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thank you for being with us on this Friday. It's finally Friday morning. 251-343-0106. That's how you get in touch with me, your show host. If you so choose, compliment, complaint, suggestion, whatever it is, you feel free to use the text line. Joining us now on the line, he is our returning champion. He moved his time slot up a little earlier. We're very appreciative of that. But we're always grateful for State Senator Chris Elliott making time for this program. Senator, good morning. How are you?
I am doing great. Yeah, it may have had something to do with who we were moving for. So always happy to accommodate the Lieutenant Governor when he's needing something down here in South Alabama.
Yeah, he sounds pretty fired up, I guess, about some of the ongoings up in his neck of the woods, and we'll get into that. A couple of things here locally. I've been ranting and raving about it, and I'm ahead of my skis here probably. But the idea that we now need an act of the legislature to sort of go through the motions of what we've been doing for hundreds of years with these jubilees, is that something that's going to happen? I mean, what's going on there, Senator?
It's not going to happen. I don't think that's going to be something that we take up. I mean, there are fundamental problems with that bill. You have to define a jubilee so that law enforcement could, you know, enforce or not enforce. There's no good way to test salinity levels or oxygen levels or whatever else. It's a poorly written piece of legislation, and it's just not going to move. So I would not worry about that. I've had good conversations with DCNR. They exercise a lot of discretion when dealing with that, and they're going to continue to do so. We had one incident and with a guy that was a known criminal. His comment was he was not going back to jail. And so I think it's probably an overreaction to that, but that's why we have two chambers and two houses, and we'll see how that works out. But I wouldn't worry about it.
All right. It's become a topic. We've been fine with the way they've been for so long, and now you got to have at least a bill being filed to say, hey, why is this? Why can't we just go back to the status quo? And it's all because, I guess, there's an internet now, and people are posting them on social media when they are, and now you have game wardens or whatever, like, kind of staking them out. But I just. Well, why have we gotten to this point?
Well, I mean, I think, again, you had one single incident where you had somebody that absolutely acted up. And when they did that, they got what the response that was coming. And some people saw that as an over response without understanding the full picture. And so, listen, these are law enforcement officers. They need to be respected. They do not need to be assaulted, going to jail over a couple of fish is crazy. So respect our law enforcement and obey the law and move on. But there's not a legislative solution for everything, Jeff. You and I have had this conversation before. All too often, lawmakers, fall victim to, I need to pass a bill for this, and that's not always the case.
Yeah, I hear you. We don't always need an act of the government. Sometimes it is, it takes something. Hey, this may not be something you're able to answer, but I said I would ask one of our texters, Jeff, please talk to the returning champion about obtaining a CDL license. Why can't you just go to the state trooper's office and take the written test? I know nothing about this. Do you?
I'm not nearly enough to answer that question intelligently. That's a good question. I will ask more about that. As a matter of fact, I just left a meeting with Commissioner McKenzie, who used to work in the driver's license section of ALEA, and he'd probably be a good resource on that. I don't know the answer to that. If you want to pass your texture number along to me, or I'll get you the information, and you can get it back to him. Just not up on the CDL license requirement. Sorry.
Gotcha. All right. We will pass that along. Let's move on to some other things. I'll start with this, like, divisive concept stuff. And you have a law in the books, but, you know, with the opening days of the Trump administration and just with a phone and a pen has, you know, sort of shut down a lot of the DEI efforts. And some, in some places, there's been like a malicious or overcompliance, but nonetheless, it's been effective. Why can't Alabama, why isn't Alabama having these kinds of results? Because you find these places where there's not compliance, and you talk to lawmakers, and they just kind of shrug. Well, you know, well, I don't know. You know, do you think that law needs to be tweaked to have some kind of enforcement component?
I think at the federal level, we have a chief executive who is willing to do what President Trump is willing to do, which is withhold funds or issue executive orders that deal with this in our firm. I think that if Governor Ivey followed suit on that, that we would have compliance immediately. And so my short answer is, I would encourage, you know, the governor to follow suit. We have passed laws in the Alabama legislature, that deal with this issue. There is some responsibility on us to try to, you know, have the power of the person to threaten to use that. And we should as well. But, the governor has supreme executive authority. We found out recently, according to her office, and I think she ought to use that, especially as it relates to this issue.
Well, I mean, you hear this, like the Magic City Acceptance Academy or the Montgomery Museum of Fine Art, Arts and some of the things they're doing. And I don't know, like the state money, you know, these entities both list the Alabama legislature as either a partner or have some kind of financial stake in their existence. But the things they do seem to be divisive. under the category of what these divisive concepts would be. And then you start asking, and I think it's April Marie Fogle filling in for Sean yesterday, had Danny Garrett on. And his reaction was sort of like this. Well, you know, you draw attention to it. They're just going to raise the money privately and, you know, is this really what you really want? Well, yeah, you know, it's like our tax dollars seem to still be funding some of this stuff that the country on November 5th certainly rejected, but, you know, the state of Alabama, I think, rejects, you know, multiple times compared to the rest of the country.
We ought to defund every one of them that acts like that. I mean, we have the legislative intention is clear with these issues, and those that continue, and you've named several of them, we ought to defund every last one of them, cut them out of the budget completely, exercise the power that the legislature has, and if they want to go raise money to go do crazy stuff, fine, go raise it privately, but get off the government dole, and that ought to be the message, and it ought to be firm, and the legislature ought to send it, and the governor ought to send it. And I, for one, am going to be looking very closely at those particular entities and where they fall in the budgets this year. That is, we need to do that. We need to exercise that authority. We need to have those conversations in budget hearings, and we need to have those conversations on the floor, and we will.
What about archives and history? Now,
same thing.
Well, do you think that they got the message with the last go-around with the LGBTQ history luncheon?
No,
I mean, we haven't seen much out of them in that regard, but they still sort of need to be on the chopping block.
Same players in there, same folks. We haven't made any changes there. That bill is pre-filed. It will come back, and we're gonna make some changes. And again, the governor has exercised this supreme executive authority over all entities in the state. If you don't believe it, ask the Veterans Affairs, you know, commissioner. And so at the end of the day, like it or not, she's taken that mantle. She has, you know, can and should, if something like that pops up again, or maybe before something like that pops up again, absolutely do something. In the meantime, we share responsibility in the legislature for making sure that board is not a self-perpetuating board where they are essentially appointing themselves back to that board. I have a bill that does just that, and make sure that those board members are responsible to elected officials who are represented by the representatives of the people of the state of Alabama, and so that there is a direct correlation back to the people on who they want doing those types of things. And so we need to get control over those entities. This whole ivory tower, we know better than you, whatever, is not going to work anymore.
Well, it's funny you keep mentioning the governor and her a lack of input on this stuff. But, I mean, Senator, is there any reason to think, based on what we've seen the last 8 years, that that's going to change?
I think for certain it will in 2 years. And the jury's out on whether it will between now and then. But she has been willing to use that authority in some instances. And again, I think that if she is willing to use that authority as she has so far, then it's perfectly reasonable for me to say, Governor, you can use it in other instances as well.
Well, I mean, we could talk about the Veterans Affairs stuff. I mean, there's clearly more of a petty might be harsh, but I want to use it there anyway. There may be some kind of personal motivations, but that's it. I guess to get results that you're talking about, we got to make it sort of personal in nature. And I don't know. She got rid of the early childhood education secretary over some kind of teaching manual that didn't comply. And I don't know the backstory there, but that sort of fell in the same spirit of some of this discussion we're having, I think.
And she's been impactful on the library board as well, right? And putting certain people in there that I think are affecting change and probably positive change from where I sit. And so, I think at the end of the day, President Trump has shown us that the most efficient way to affect change is executive orders. And I think that if she shows really some mettle on that, that the legislature will follow her lead as it relates to funding. It is hard to get some of this funding cut. It needs to happen. I have proposed that it happen, and it's been put back in the budget over my objections. My objections on these issues are going to get much louder, and we're going to shine more of a light on them moving forward.
Well, and not to make this a discussion about the governor, but do you think she wants to do some of this? I mean, like, here it is. It's not that she's necessarily like pro woke agenda, but is this like the deal with that? To me, it just looks like this isn't a fight really worth my time, that we got bigger fish to fry, that there are other priorities. But this, to me, especially seeing what we're seeing at the federal level, suddenly might become a priority, or it should be a priority.
Look, I think the governor shares our values on these issues. I have absolutely no reason to believe that she doesn't. I would just say you've waded into supreme executive authority land here, and you've exerted that authority. Let's use it. Let's absolutely take responsibility for some of the crazy things our state is doing and get control over it, whether it's the Alabama Department of Environmental Management or the state health officer or archives and history. Or the Veterans Commission. You want to be in charge, you're in charge, Governor. These are issues that are important to your constituents. Let's go.
Well, I mean, I certainly would like to see, I would like to see something there, but I guess that's to be continued. Well, we'll kind of wrap it up here. And what are your anticipations? I asked the speaker this, and I've asked other lawmakers, but, you got those 3-day weeks coming up early. My understanding is you got to try to do another 2-week of spring break at some point. But, at first it looked like, wow, they're really going to hit the ground running and going through some days here early in the session. But what are you guys up to early? There's not, that seemed to be that like big topic. Like last year was gambling. The year before was like economic incentives or something. These things come up, and sometimes there's a special session. I mean, you got the state of the state Tuesday night. Do you have any idea what we should expect? What do you think the scuttlebutt's going to be centered around next week?
Well, I mean, the House has been clear about some crime issues that they want to take up. Senator Gudger's focused on immigration issues, some government efficiency issues, and some Alabama values issues that I think are all all good things to focus on, especially going into an election year. I do think it's important for everybody to understand there is still a process, and there is no legislation that, you know, that has received its first reading yet. And so that has to happen on Tuesday of next week, and then it has to get to committee, and then it has to get out of committee and then placed on the calendar on the floor of the first chamber. And so there are you have to load the system up, if you will, with pieces of legislation before you can really get to the point where you're voting on it. And so it's going to take a couple of weeks to start seeing action just because there's a process. But I expect there to be a flurry of bills that are introduced on Tuesday. And then the real work begins, you know, from a leadership standpoint of where those go, how they move, and kind of getting everybody focused.
Yeah. And, you know, well, this is for real is the last question, getting those things through. You know, you got the Senate's a very special place in that they're, you know, you as a single senator have a lot of ability to disrupt things on the floor. And as we know, you have two Democrats who really have made used that to great effect. But are we going to, is it going to look the same as it always does this year? Or do you really anticipate a noticeable change?
Yeah, it's a good question, and I think it's fair to say I don't know yet. We've got, you know, a new leader, a new pro tem in Senator Gudger. You know, he gets along very well with most everybody, including the Democrats, you know, but I don't know the answer to that yet, and we'll see. You know, certainly we have a super majority in the Senate. There are, you know, opportunities for cloture. You know, the rules allow any particular senator, as you correctly point out, to really slow things down on both sides of the aisle. And so those rules are not changing this year, and they'll be the same. But Senator Gudger's ability to navigate that and to work with members on both sides of the aisle, I think is certainly going to be put to the test. And I like his chances. He's the guy for the job, and I'm excited that he's in there.
Senator, we always appreciate your time, and best of luck to you next week, and we'll be in touch again soon.
Sounds good. Have a great weekend.
State Senator Chris Elliott, our returning champion. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5.